This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Is this the part where I say something because you're busy playing with the mic? Hello, hello. Hi, everyone. My Jake. Greg is laughing on the other side. Now, man, how are you guys doing? It's another an amazing episode of 360 Biz. My co-pilot, Stebo Ho, and also Teho are there out gallivanting, doing whatever entrepreneurs do on a Wednesday. On a Wednesday at 1 o'clock. You guys have joined us for another installment of 360 Biz, a show on Cliff Central, a show on Cliff Central that is aimed at giving you cutting-edge news, information, and access to market opportunities that will help you grow your business and move your business to a whole new level. So it is the undisputed heavyweight title holder for entrepreneurial shows in the whole of Africa. I've got an amazing guest in studio. And I think before I read through my intro, sir, please greet our listeners. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hey, Bulalani and the team at Cliff Central, thanks so much for having me on 360 Biz. My name is Ndumiso Hadebe. I'm the managing director for a tech company called Comba Africa. Comba Africa is an online business directory with features of an e-commerce platform. And essentially, we're in the business of making businesses business.
Really? Yeah. And I mean, so how'd you get into this space?
So it was by chance, really. One of our directors, Murendeni, went to go visit his grandmother in Polokwane. And his grandmother had a plumbing problem in Polokwane. And being a young person that he is, the first thing that he wanted to do was to find a supplier online, on his cell phone. And the nearest supplier he could find was in town, 30 minutes away, and there was a call-out fee needed for that. Lo and behold, several minutes later, they found a ubaba called Babu Mtembu, who has been plumbing for the past 37 years, as it were, and he was able to assist Murendeni's grandmother. And so that led us to ask ourselves an innovation question in that regard, to say, if Babu Mtembu was available online, given that we have a growing youthful population that are online users and consumers, perhaps we need to provide a platform for the likes of Babu Mtembu and the rest of them to have an online presence so that they can find online consumers as well. So that led to Comba Africa.
So I find the name of your company very interesting. What okay, first I think tell our broad listeners what it means.
Yeah.
And what inspired the name?
So Comba is a Zulu / Sotho word meaning to point. In Africa really emphasizes that we have a pan-African outlook. We're passionate about the renewal and the development and the reindustrialization of the African continent. So Comba meaning pointing consumers to the right businesses and businesses to their audience and their consumers as well.
And I mean, according to you, Ndumiso, man, how important is it for, or rather, before we even talk about the importance, what is innovation? So when businesses, and it's a buzzword,
yeah,
where everyone is talking about do business more innovatively or use innovation, what do all of those things mean to an ordinary SMME?
Yeah, I think innovation, from my understanding and my experience that to this point, is really about thinking creatively around problems. If something is not working properly or you think it can be done better, and you can be more creative around it, can work more efficiently, be more impactful, as it were. I think that's what innovation essentially entails, being more creative around solving problems or existing problems. So that's just my understanding.
And I mean, do you feel like in the broader scale, SMMEs are engaging in a very innovative way with regards to their business? Mm-hmm. Are we still stuck in the analog way of doing things?
Yeah, I think it's quite mixed. South Africa's context is very interesting because it's nuanced in many aspects. So we find we do find even businesses that are located in low and middle income communities who are innovative around their business models. There's a gentleman that I respect quite highly from the Vaal, Ubabuthabi Manzi. He's one of those gentlemen, I guess, who have been running spaza shops and small retail supermarkets, Elokshini, and he thought innovatively around his business model, and he has partnered up with Pick and Pay, and they now run what they call a chain of Ola supermarket stores within the township, and Equity is not from Pick and Pay side. They still own 100% of their business. It's just a relationship that they formed. But because of the challenges, for instance, in low-income communities in that regard, the issue of capitalization, the issues of stock, and so on and so forth, the resources are not always there. Pick and Pepe then provides the backing of ensuring that there's always stock on hand, for example. So I've seen pockets of entrepreneurs and businesses that are innovative around their business challenges, and then there are areas where there are serious areas of improvement where innovation can be used to sort of navigate the day-to-day challenges of running a business.
I like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if you're listening to the show today, we're talking about innovation in business. And, I mean, our opener today is a very interesting one. It says, everyone can innovate. Well, I just want you to pick up certain things and I'll ask you questions on them.
Yeah.
It says, everyone can innovate. Innovation means coming up with new ways of doing things. However, being innovative does not only mean inventing. It can also mean changing your business model and adapting to changes in your environment to deliver best product or services. Successful innovation should be an inbuilt part of your business strategy, where you create a culture of innovation and lead the way innovative thinking and creating problem solving. Innovation in business can be defined as the process of implementing new ideas, creating dynamic products, or improving your existing services. How much of that do you think is true?
Sure. I think by and large, most of it is quite true. I think it's quite true.
And I'm sorry to cut you off, nah, because I just wanna piggyback this so that when you answer, we try and get it holistic.
Yeah.
Because whenever the word innovation comes in, people always think tech.
Yeah. True.
And
true.
Digital.
Yes.
You know. So I think for me it's demystifying what the whole entire thing is, because I feel like there are so many innovations that have come up over the years that were not tech.
Yeah.
But obviously we're in the tech age, it's the fourth industrial revolution, which I'd love to pick your brain about a little bit deeper in this in this dialogue. So what are your views?
Look, I fully agree with you there. A lot of the time we tend to associate innovation with tech, and that's not necessarily the case. Like you quite rightly mentioned in your intro, it can be from the perspective of modifying your business model. I mean, you yourself have shared a lot of insights around with entrepreneurs around the question of funding for entrepreneurs who are looking for funding, who are solely looking at, for instance, DFIs, who are looking at banks and other institutions that can provide that funding. But you would share as well that, look, there are more creative ways around financing your business or financing a specific project that you're trying to lift off in your business to be able to recapitalize other operations in the business. So I think innovation really, in that context of your intro, is then in line with that around. It's not limited to tech. It reaches out to how you run your business, to how the culture that you create in your business, the entrepreneurial culture, and so on and so forth. So it touches at a lot of elements.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you touched on something there, which I was going to allude to and talking about your business journey, but I think let's just go into it. When you started business, how did you fund your business?
Yo, I tend to say right now that I'm broke. I'm broke.
Join
right now,
club.
Brother. I'm broke, brother. So myself and our directors, we maxed out our savings in starting this business. Given that it's in the tech space, we had to develop and market, even from the simplest things of petrol. So we had to finance that. And that's before we were able to get any kind of capital injection into the business or any kind of revenue going into the business, we're also rolling out the business in phases, because we also don't want to, we are very passionate about running a good business qualitatively than just pushing quantity. I think quantity will come as time goes, but we need to build this thing properly. So we've made certain sacrifices personally. Fortunately, our loved ones are understanding of the journey as well. But fortunately for us, we've had acquired some working experience, and we were able to, from our salaries, able to accumulate certain amount of savings, and so that's how we've financed the business till this point.
Yeah, and I mean, your professional career, did it start out in entrepreneurship, or were you working somewhere?
So my professional career, I started working in what is today referred to as Black Umbrellas, which was before Shanduka Black Umbrellas.
Oh really?
Yeah. After One Day Leader,
yes.
That's the opportunity. I got a job at Shanduka Black Umbrellas as a result. So that's where, and my training is in economics, and so getting into the space of working with entrepreneurs and understanding some of the challenges that they undergo, and particularly from a research perspective, I was like, no, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and there's a lot that we can do in South Africa, and the potential, the talent, the ideas are there, but there's just implementation somewhere somehow becomes a challenge. So that led me to ask myself entrepreneurial questions, innovation questions in that regard. And over the course of my career, I've always knew there's going to come a point where I exit from working for someone, which is the point where I'm at now, where I'm fully working in the business and building the business and so on. And so that's what brings me to the point where I'm at right now, where I'm an entrepreneur running this business. We are currently in the phase of capital raising. We're able to get some seed funding in California at a competition that we came runner-up there, and so we're continuing to build this business.
Yeah, and I mean, how is it like working with, I'm assuming there's two or three other people in this particular venture.
Yeah.
I mean, how is it like? And I can imagine you guys are creatives. Do you guys tussle around? Do you pull in different directions? How does it work?
So there's four of us in the business. Myself, a gentleman called Jose Andre. He's responsible for communications marketing, but he also does a lot of biz dev. He's currently in an island called Sao Tome Principe, which is on the Gulf of Guinea. He's doing biz dev work there as well for Comba Africa, exploring opportunities that are there as well. Because what we're finding is that opportunities or entrepreneurial opportunities are not only limited to our markets in South Africa, but Africans want to trade and do business with one another. Mm. And my research background came in the sense that one of the things we found is that the levels of trade between African countries is as low as 6%. But in the Eurozone, it's up 60%, as it were. So there's a lot of room and opportunity for even entrepreneurs, Elokshini, to produce something and send it to markets across the border. So that's where we're also thinking around. So Jose, then Olivier. Olivier's background is in management consulting. And the fourth director is Murendeni. Murendeni was my youth pastor, quite interestingly.
Oh, wow.
So it's a huge, it's a nice blend of different expertise, different insights. And we, like, quite rightly, we go back with ideas and see what is more best implementable.
Yeah, and I mean, so being someone who's in the tech space, let me throw this in. Who are the top three, or who are the three or two individuals you look up to in the tech space?
In the tech space, I find, and at this point I think I would say one, I find Jack Ma's journey quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think I see our journey very similar to his journey as well. Because he studied Alibaba at a point where the internet was something like, hey, chief, what is that thing? What do you mean? This thing is not going to happen. And so we find as well, compared to other developed markets in the US and in South Africa, the tech space in South Africa is still nascent. Whereas in the US, it's more developed. People, when you talk tech or radio, it's like you're singing a love song, you know? So I resonate with his journey and how he was able to build it as well from a perspective of building a solid, good quality business that adds value. Because I think it can be so easy. I mean, to be quite honest, there are some people who are selling businesses $50 million in the US, but it's a useless app, honestly. In the context of what... We're very developmental in our thinking to say, okay, you developed this app, okay, it's cool, but what value does it really add to users? And they've sold it for quite a fortune. So Jack Ma's journey is valuable in that sense, because he focuses on adding value, and it's developmental as well, and creating jobs. So I resonate a lot with his journey.
Yeah, and I mean, going into entrepreneurship, did you find a lot of support from family?
My mother was like, are you sure, Mdanam? You know, my mother wasn't really sure, because I think, particularly with our background, stability is very important. There are a lot of things that we still need to do, ekaya, smaller yana projects here and there, supporting family and siblings. And so it was quite a leap. So fortunately, ekaya, my mom is we grew up in a home of faith, and she's very spiritual. And so she imparted all of that to us. So her faith, as opposed to her inherent doubt as a human being, has what has kicked in at this point in time in supporting the work that we're doing. But I think as well, some of the recent successes have also encouraged her to say she trusts us and me enough that if I focus on something and build it diligently, that eventually it does become a success.
And I mean, what are some of the, I think maybe to a listener who's listening out there, so what does Comba Africa do? What are the products? What are the services?
So Comba Africa essentially is an online business directory with features of an e-commerce platform. So it links small businesses with consumers that are closest to them. So it's available both on web and it's available on app, Google Play Store. Currently, we're currently working on registering it on iOS as well. So essentially, we offer online business directory listing opportunities for SMMEs that are located in the township, inner city and rural geographies. There are also advertising opportunities as well on the platform for DFIs, for whichever business would like to advertise their business on the platform. Thirdly, we offer we do research and advisory work as part of the third revenue stream of the platform. Our director of IT built quite a robust reporting dashboard as part of, on the back end of the platform. So as a result of that, we're able to extract key enterprise intelligence of business interactions to also enable these businesses in supporting the entrepreneurial ecosystem of what challenges they might have and so on and so forth. Fourthly, program design around what kind of programs would work best for businesses that are located in certain geographies and in certain sectors so that they can be able to generate the kind of leads that will enable them to generate revenues and run sustainable businesses. So it's in those four categories or revenue streams that Comba Africa does its work and offers its services.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at the broader scale, do you think that government is doing enough to build infrastructure to support entrepreneurship, entrepreneurs rather, in the growth of either their business or taking ideas from ideation all the way down to product?
Yeah, I think there's I mean, just yesterday, the MEC, Lebohang Maile, gave the budget vote, and there's quite over R1 billion allocated to economic development agencies that are supposed to support the entrepreneurial ecosystem in the Gauteng province alone. So indeed, there is capital that is available for entrepreneurs to be able to access. But I think one of the main challenges could be the simplest things of how to complete the application form sufficiently in a manner that would be favorable in your application process. Sometimes systems of government don't work, so you must call a call center. Call center is not working, you must go to the office. So there are a number of challenges there operationally, and at times bureaucracy as well tends to be an impediment, because if as an entrepreneur, look, I have a project with R100,000, I need to capitalize with of R100,000, and I need to deliver to client within 2 weeks. Turnaround time for government entities are nothing less than 14 working days. So those are some of the nuances that then serve as a bit of impediments, but the capital is there. It's just the process of getting it tends to be a bit of a challenge.
Interesting conversation we are having. If you tuned in, the theme of our show today is innovation and business. And I'm now going to switch over to one of our amazing guests who just showed up on the show. Just going to open up by asking you to introduce yourself. And please tell us who you are and what you do.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Ayanda Tejana, and I am the founder of Tulipile Kids. And we also run an initiative, which is very close to my heart, that's called Superhero Fathers Campaign. So, yeah, that's basically me, and I'm in the child development space. I work with empowering parents in the workplace, in the schools, giving them support to be able to assist their children with what exactly to do with their children. Should I go into detail?
Yeah, please do. Please give us details.
Okay. So, you know, what happens is we get a lot of children who are born, right?
Mm.
And actually the actual stats in 2015 was 1.2 million. And what we're looking at is a whole lot of children who will be soon competing for jobs. And that's even starting on a higher scale. Mm. Starting off, we're talking about schools. We're talking about just quality of everything.
Mm.
And if we don't equip our children better in terms of how do they compete now, not just in South Africa, because that's a smaller scale. I mean, if you look at our literacy rates and the stats, it's disastrous. Our grade four children can barely read.
Yes.
And what I've done in terms of the innovation is to say there's a lot that the school teachers are going through. There's a lot of innovation that has been trying to happen within the government, trying to do what they can do. But now the question is, what do you do as a parent? Because I believe that we spend the bigger bulk of the time with our children, but let's now spend quality time with our children. Let's be aware of what we can do to empower our children with whatever they're having challenges. So what I do is I bring in that element. I do coaching, I do workshops for parents in the workplace, in schools, and I assist them with that, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, how long have you been doing this for?
This has been a baby for 5 years now.
Oh, wow, sure.
And it's growing step by step. That's what we say in the child development space. You watch your baby go, literally. Mm. From the being able to crawl to be able to walk. And then you finally see it become this adult like all of us envision, right? It's been an exciting journey simply because it's kind of a new thing, right? Especially within our communities where you're saying, listen, whether your child is going to a public school, you actually need to take the extra time and sit down and go through the books and see how you can support them. Or you're talking to a mom who takes their child to an expensive school who says, listen, I pay all that money. Mm. I expect them to do everything. It actually doesn't work that way. Mm. With parenting, you need to be that cheerleader. You need to hold your child. And there's a huge ecosystem that you see in the whole society. Mm. If you look at the countries where they're very parent conscious, even in the workplace, you see a huge difference in terms of how they are in terms of the development. Mm. It's something that people don't consider, but it's really, really important.
Mm. And I mean, how important is it to put kids in a competitive environment? Does that help build them up, or is every kid a winner?
Listen, I think it's quite important. One of the things I always say when I do my talks with moms, first of all, just to give you, are you guys a dad yet?
I'm a dad. Definitely
not
a
yet?
Dad.
Not yet.
Great. I'm glad we now know each other, right? Is that with the whole concept of having a child, there's the child development, you look at the growth, which is just the physical growth, right? Mm. And then you look at the development, which is like the capacity in terms of the intelligence. Mm. So now we're living in a global world. Everything is online. Imagine if in 20 years time we have all these children of ours who can barely speak certain way, who are not antisocial, all of these things that we may be lacking, literacy, who now have to use this internet, for instance, and compete with children who are on a global scale, who have learned the basics of coding and all of these things. Mm. What kind of dreams do we have for our little ones? They have to be bigger. And for me, all I'm saying is every parent, whichever background that you come from, you should have a bigger dream for your child, and you should take that extra, go that extra mile to say, how do I invest? Okay, this is my son's weaknesses. This is their strengths. What do I find to assist them? And basically a huge part of that, the business that we do, is to make parents aware and to say, how do I fine-tune that? Mm. It's hugely important. Mm. I mean, the thing that inspired me to get into the business, quite frankly, is that thing when I first held my son about 10 years ago, and I was looking at him back then in Soweto thinking, oh my God, what is going to become of this young man? Mm. And that basically lit a fire in me to say, I'm going to be his number one cheerleader. I will do whatever it takes so that when he gets to a stage where he has to make decision, he's well informed. And I've been fortunate enough through the journey to be able to help so many other people who are also parents, who are excited, aunties, uncles. I have a huge database of people who I help to do the same thing.
So Ayanda, man, do you think NPOs in the general sense especially maybe also just to encapsulate it in the South African context, are utilizing innovation in their particular businesses? Do you think they're doing things different, or is it still the same old, same old?
I think generally, in terms of learning from the world, we still have a long way to go. I mean, one of the things that I do actually is work with daycare centers in developing curriculum. Mm. So what would happen is you'd find a daycare center who has very little resources, but they want to be able to provide. Mm. So then you're able to assist them to say, with what we have, let's work around. Mm. I think a lot of us have the idea we want to get into the space. What I'm seeing a lot more of is a lot more young black people getting into the MPO space, which is quite exciting for me, because I think that's where the innovation is, because then they're seeing what's happening out in the other parts of the world and they're bringing that. Because I think one of the things that's always scared me about the space is just sustainability. I think we haven't really been conscious about, I'm starting this NGO, but how do I sustain it? And I work with a lot of people who are really creating reading clubs in the township, who have all these extramural projects. But when you speak to them and say, how do you make this sustainable, they still haven't figured that part out. That's something that I really think will make a difference if we get to that part sooner. You know, you don't have to burn your fingers first and see that this doesn't work, because I think a lot of us do that.
And I mean, so with these sessions and these different initiatives that you run, do you find parents to be supportive? And because I mean, I went to school at some point in my life, sure. And I remember certain parents would totally not support certain things, even if some made sense.
Yeah.
Like Vusi staying after school till 4 with the teacher, then all the other kids. Dad was like, nope, it's gonna happen. You know.
I'm seeing a lot more people being open to it. I think maybe it's just having the conversation to start with, to say, where do you come from? What do you want for your child? Let's be realistic. Let's sit down and talk about that. And for me, having grown up in a bit of like Soweto, a huge part of my life in Soweto, seeing a lot of awesome people come out of there, even though they've gone through the public schooling systems, and you see that it's not just about what you have to make your child elevate. It's about those daily conversations. How are you motivating your child to say you can be more? You can be the first matriculant in the family, and take your child to field trips, all of these things. One of the biggest challenges daycare centers, for instance, are having, when I usually have to talk to do talks, is that not all our parents don't want to participate in these kind of extramural activities, because they'll be like, 300 rand for the zoo. Eish, you know, we're trying to budget, you know. And then if you start to explain how important this is in terms of building the vocabulary of the child, instead in the instance where you're trying to build this child's imagination, so that they can see that it's not just this little world that we live in, of whether it's poverty or whatever, there's so much more. You can be a zoologist, you can be there's opportunities everywhere, but we have to step out of those little clusters of our lives to be able to see that. So it's we're getting there. I see a lot of people being open to it, better than when I started out 5 years ago. You know. So
and then what would your advice to parents be?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I've seen is that, first of all, parenting is not a one shoe fits all. What has worked for me may not work for you. Some people have their children earlier, some people have them later. It's a whole thing where, more than anything else, what's important is to have your intentions quite clear. When it comes to my children, I've always been clear that I want them to be able to survive should something happen to me. So in terms of everything that I do with them, I'm always teaching them to be independent, to be confident, so that should something happen to me, whoever takes over, they're able to express themselves, they're able to stand up for themselves. And this, I think, is quite that's something really, really that we have to consider as parents. Some of us, we over protect the children, you know, we don't allow them to. And the biggest part of what I do then is to talk about how do we incorporate the play element, Now, what happens is children learn better if you create an environment that's inducive. Mm-hmm. If you create an environment that's fun, that's exciting. As a parent, you can actually do that at home. You can imagine where you are cooking, for instance, and you're asking your child, what color is this? Carrot. There's so many things that you can do that can bring this learning environment, this empowering environment, this environment that brings that confidence out of your child. Hmm. So the message that I speak, everywhere I speak, is that your child has unlimited potential and they just do whatever it takes to bring that out of them.
Leave me, my brother, your advice to entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs out there?
Sure. My advice, man, I think one of the key things in our context in South Africa would be perhaps to ask ourselves innovation questions around the development challenges that we face as entrepreneurs. I think there's a lot of room to develop low-income or middle-income communities in South Africa, which, whilst making impact in the lives of people, and it's possible to also generate revenue while doing that as well.
Yes.
I think we always we tend to look at the case studies of what Capitec did, when conventional banks didn't want to offer banking accounts to people with who have limited incomes, and how they've been able today. They are the biggest bank in terms of bank accounts that have been opened, and so that led us to ask ourselves, Ivan. So a lot of people don't want to work in low-income communities because supposedly people don't have money there, or the environment is too risky, or whatever the case may be. But there's actually wealth in those communities as well, and development can take place as a result. So in our context as South Africans and as Africans, I would encourage entrepreneurs to think innovatively around the development challenges that we face in our specific context.
Wow, thank you so much, man. We're jumping on to the second segment of our show. Solar Turtle, pitched by Lungi Jali, was announced as the winner of the inaugural Nation Builder Social Innovation Challenge. They came out. You should have been part of this challenge. Did you know about Nation Builder?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you more about it after this. Next year, you need to be part of this. They came out on top, chosen by ten outstanding ideas represented at the pitching final hosted by the Stellenbosch University Launch Lab on Wednesday evening. And these guys, I mean, I think these guys were given about 150,000 and they had to split it as seed capital.
Sure.
And I think we've got someone on the line who will explain to us a little bit more. You guys can get your head pieces. Oh, my sister. No, we'll organize you one. Hi, how are you?
Hey, good day.
Good. How are you? Good, good. Could you please introduce, greet our listeners and tell us who you are and what you do?
Okay, everybody. I am James. I'm the engineer behind our social business called Solar Turtle. We are a renewable energy company, and we're focusing on starting small little energy hubs in rural communities, as well for other business users, to make drop-and-go energy solar power stations. The idea is that we want to do decentralized energy. So we want to get energy anywhere in the world and make small little businesses so community can sell their own electricity as opposed to relying on that grid connection.
Really? And I mean, so take us through how this would work.
Sure. So you should actually come through on the 29th, which is actually Friday. We're releasing our new design. But basically what it is, we take a shipping container and we convert it into a fold-away solar power station with a workspace inside. So think of a turtle. What do turtles do when they're threatened? They climb into their shell. So we're doing a bit of biomimicry, latching onto that idea. We're taking a container, fill it up with solar panels, that's all folded away, take it site, on site, you just press a button, and the whole solar power station folds open, and now you can do trading in the inside. And we typically start a small little energy business inside a container. And in the evening, when it's unsafe, the lady locks up her container, presses the button, and the whole system collapses in of itself. And
so
I can also transport this along the other place.
Interesting. So this product, does it plug into the grid, or is this battery? Is this stored in batteries that you sell off to the community?
Yeah, no, we're trying to be completely off-grid. So this is an off-grid solution. So let's take a rural community that's far away from any power, right? There's a school at the community, and there's thousands of kids that need power to get onto the internet, use their phones, and that type of thing. So what we will do is they're like, all right, there's a perfect business case to start a battery charging station at the school. Then we convert one of our containers into a solar turtle. We then find a local entrepreneur. Typically, we work with women. They're like, okay, listen, do you want to be a solo entrepreneur, what we call turtlepreneur? He's like, sure, I know a little bit about trading. I said, like, okay, great. So here's your container. There's a little kiosk in the inside, bazaar shop. And then she has a battery charging station. So the kids don't have a cable connection to their home. They either come and buy a battery pack from us, which they can then swap out for a filled one, or they can just bring in their phone, drop it off, and the son will fill it up. It's great for the school because that means all the phones are in the container being recharged and not in the classroom. And then after class, they can come and pick it up, take it home. And then they have their batteries at home, and then they can run their lights, they can run their phones, they can get onto the internet. More specifically, we want to make it easy for kids to be able to study.
Oh, wow, man, that's phenomenal. And just share with us, how was your experience of the Nation Builder Social Innovation Challenge?
Oh, no, it is. It was a tough challenge, I must say. There were some phenomenal ideas out there. We were both over the moon, myself and Mzingi, as our CEO. She presented on the day. We were both very nervous seeing the competition. And I must say, we were both like over the moon when we heard that our name announced. Like, this gracious, what a great, great privilege.
Wow. And what does this mean? I mean, what are you going to do with your portion of the 150? I mean, are you going to blow it away or are you going to reinvest? It's an important question to ask because we always assume entrepreneurs are going to reinvest.
Well, the one thing that we had in mind now, what people desperately need money for is our new design, which we call the baby turtle. So the solar turtle, which we call now the mama turtle, is a big machine. You know, you got to put down a little power station at the school. You can't easily move that around. So we were thinking, not all entrepreneurs want to be in one spot all the time. Not always the best place. And it's a very expensive exercise to build a big system like that. So we want to build a mini version or baby version that's like either a trolley or a bike. You can cycle, let's say, to a taxi rank in the morning, unfold the solar panels, the mirror concept, and then also run the battery charging station and sell Wi-Fi and so forth. And in the evening, when it's unsafe and people want to steal your solar panels, you fold the whole system away and you cycle back home and lock it up next to your bed type of idea.
Oh,
and
wow.
We want to build in our software into that as well, so it can help entrepreneurs that don't know much about business, how to run their business more effectively, get them motivated, give them tips like, hey, there's a school so many meters away from you and they're having a function. You know, maybe you should go there today, type of idea. So community entrepreneurs can now easily afford a small little system, plus all the aid that we give it, that they can make a profit for themselves.
No, man, thank you so much. And how do we get in touch with you?
Well, for one, there's the Nation Builder event in end of August, I think it's August.
Yeah.
They can definitely come and meet us there. Alternatively, they can come and visit our website, www.solarturtle.co.za. Pop us a mail and we'd be happy to talk, either as our solar containers or if you want to be a community entrepreneur or if you just want to, like, say hi. It's all good with us.
Nah, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations yet again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the chat.
Thank you so much. Cheers, your papa.
All the best. Bye.
Man, what you think of that?
There we go.
You know, I grew up hearing stories of people being electrocuted.
Mm.
Yeah.
Someone sent you lightning. Now you're literally selling electricity out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, guys, I mean, if someone wanted to get in touch with you guys and do me, so how do we get in touch with you? How do we... where do we find your company?
So you can find us at www.combaafrica.co.za. You can find the app on Google Play Store, Comba Africa. If you want to get in touch with us, it's info@combaafrica.co.za.
Ayanda?
So I'm on Facebook and I'm very interactive. Any moms who are having concerns, companies who want to do something to assist their employees who are parents, you can also get hold of me on WhatsApp, 078-170-1152. And the name on social media is Ayanda Tekyana, spelled T-E-T-Y-A-N-A.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of 360 Biz. Join us yet again next week as we uncover, interview, and profile amazing entrepreneurs and engage with corporate and governmental stakeholders to bring you information and access to market opportunities. 360 Biz. See you yet again next week, 1 o'clock.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.